Hey everyone, and welcome back to Youth Ministry and Mentorship 101. This is season 2, and you are listening to episode 2. And we are on the journey on how to educate, empower, and enlighten our youth and young adults better by listening to stories from many different peoples, many leaders. And this week, I listened to a young lady from Massachusetts talk about anxiety. Have you ever wondered how to engage somebody in your church or your community that is struggling with anxiety? Or maybe you're the one struggling with it. Well, this episode really goes into how we can learn from each other and how we can talk about what we actually go through from day to day. As Sister Laia says in this episode, she can go an entire day smiling, but there's more to her story. So let's check out this episode after the ad. Hey everybody, and welcome to another episode of Youth Ministry and Mentorship 101. I'm always excited. There's not an episode I'm not excited. I wonder why. But anyway, I am glad to be speaking with Lace Mendez. Did I say it right?
Yeah, Lais. Yeah.
Okay, Lais Mendez. She is from Southern New England, my old home conference. Yay! And yeah, so it's cool to speak with her today. And how are you doing?
I'm doing great. You know, it's rainy out, so it's like one of those mellow days. Everything's working out.
That Massachusetts weather, man.
And we gotta love it.
Yes, you gotta love it. You gotta love it. So as you're on the podcast, I'm really excited to talk with you, but I was just wondering if you could just give a short bio about yourself and what you do in ministry. And I know you do a lot of things, so.
I'm 17 and I'm currently a senior in high school, which is a little bit stressful and getting a little bit hard, but we learn to manage. I grew up singing, playing piano and all that stuff in church, always loved it. Took a lot to get there, but it was great. My parents own a food pantry and I like to be as involved in that as I can. Pathfinders was my heart and soul growing up, so gotta live by that. And I'm, you know, just a 17-year-old girl trying to get through life, trying to be an adult.
yes, adulting. Hashtag adulting. Awesome.
Oh, we love it.
Yes. And I gotta give you a shout out. You didn't mention it because you're very humble, but you are also one of the TLTs that was featured on the TLT snack page that I made for Instagram. You're one of the highlighted TLTs, so yay! you mentioned that your parents own a food pantry. I remember them helping actually churches I used to student pastor for, so that's really exciting. And can you shout out the club that you were a part of in Pathfinders?
I was part of the Amazon Club.
Awesome, awesome. The Lancaster Amazon, that club is huge. Yeah. So.
We are big. And what's really funny is that I went into Pathfinders a little bit earlier than most. And so when I was in Pathfinders, there was like 50 of us. And it was crazy.
Wow. Yes, I noticed, because I remember seeing that club grow. And even when it was at its smallest, I was like, this club is huge. And then they would say, oh, we're getting bigger. And I'd be like, you want to? So that's awesome. But the reason I wanted to talk to you today is I saw a couple months back, you posted a Facebook Live in which you were really transparent and honest about what you're going through. Could you like let the people know what happened on that Facebook Live?
So, my Facebook Live, I have a blog. It's called Remarkably Laus, that I started 2 years ago, I want to say. And in this blog, I honestly don't know what drove me to do, like, to make it. I know that my brother had started one, and so I kind of was like, okay, let's check it out. Let's see how this works. And I've always loved writing. So when I found a platform that I could write down exactly what was going on in my life and that maybe someone would relate to it, I was super excited to do it. So I hadn't been on my blog for a very long time, and I had a lot of people asking me about a post on my blog page about my anxiety. And I thought it'd be a good idea to just address it on a live, because that way you could be more transparent. People see your facial expressions and they see like what you're talking about, and it's more in depth. And so I just kind of sat down and explained, because anxiety, depression, bipolar disorder, anything, any mental illness, any struggle like that, it's an issue and it's a problem that happens with a lot of people in my generation, especially. And like, it gets difficult because it seems like a lot of people don't talk about it. Of course, people bring up awareness for it, and they're always like, you know, make sure that like you're getting help. Here's a helpline if you need it. And that's great. And I love that. And I always share those things, and it's great to get that out there. But no one is 100% transparent about what the struggle is and how it is to get through it. And like talking about day-to-day things that are affected by it, and just putting it out there so people who go through it can relate to you, or people who have never been through it can understand what it's like. So when I posted that video, I really just wanted to be transparent and have people, whether they go through it or not, be able to look at me and be like, okay, she has this, but it doesn't change the person that she is. She's still Laus Manges, who goes to school and goes to work and goes to church and has to do all of these things, but she just struggles a little bit more than most people would. So I wanted to put it out there to kind of just help other people.
So my next question for you is this. What is it like? How does anxiety affect you, if that's something you're willing to talk about?
So anxiety for me, anxiety can't be categorized. Everyone is different, so it affects people in different ways. I remember that when I was younger struggling with anxiety, it affected me a lot differently than it does now. So when I was younger, it was going up in front of a church and having to speak or sing or play piano. Or it was having to like present in front of a class, or just the pressure of anything on top of me, whether it was a test, an assignment, a task I had to do, anything that felt like a little bit of pressure would instantly snowball into overthinking and worrying and just wanting to disappear. That was always the key of my anxiety, is whenever something happened, I wanted to disappear. When I was younger, it was triggered more by social pressures like that. Now, it's triggered by absolutely everything. So it's like, I can't sit down in a place where people are sitting behind me. I don't like knowing that there's someone behind me looking at me, but I can't see them. Some days I'll look at a piece of paper and I love drawing and painting. So I'll look at a piece of paper and I'll feel super inspired and I'll feel super excited to like just doodle or like put all of my emotions onto the piece of paper. But then there are certain days where I look at it and it actually makes me scared. Like I feel terrified because of a piece of paper, because it's blank and I don't know what I'm supposed to do or expected to do. So then it's like I start overthinking. And I'm like, all right, well, it's blank. What am I supposed to do? No one told me how to do this. No one told me what I have to do. Maybe I'm going to do something wrong. Maybe I'm gonna mess this up. It's this snowball effect of just thoughts that go on in my head, and it just ends up being so much that I don't know how to deal with it. So, like, for example, there's certain situations where they get, my anxiety can escalate really bad, and there's certain times where I can control it. So it could range from me just having to take deep breaths, concentrate on one thought, try and gather myself, and I'll be okay. Or it could lead to me curling up in a ball and crying and not being able to breathe. And there's no, like, limit to how I get there. Something really small could trigger a huge panic attack in me, and something really big could cause me to just, you know, not feel okay in the moment, but I can get back up. So it's hard because I can never determine what's gonna happen. And I guess ultimately that is the cause of my anxiety. I don't like having no explanation for things. So when I have to encounter a situation where someone can't give me an explanation as to why that's happening, I automatically get anxiety. So that's basically how it works for me.
Wow. It's interesting because, to be completely transparent and honest, I've dealt with anxiety as well. And that snowball effect that you mentioned is completely true. I can remember my mom telling me, "You can talk to that girl. What's the worst that could happen? Are you going to die?" And then my mind would imagine myself actually having a movie in my mind where she would make fun of me so badly that, like, everybody would hear it and then everyone would laugh. And then it eventually led to something horrific and terrible, and I wouldn't do it. So it's that, like, that snowball effect that you mentioned. It's so true. It's so true. But let me ask this: how you mentioned some coping mechanisms? You know, you just take some deep breaths. But when it's, how do you, from a day-to-day basis, how do you cope with it?
Well, there's many different ways. I mean, it's weird because it's not like I know how to write in the moment. So it'll be happening and I have to kind of sift through in my mind, okay, this is how much it's affecting me. So what is, like, the urgency of how I'm going to cope with it? Like, how badly do I have to do something right now? Do I have to just breathe and I'll be fine? Or do I have to, like, go for a walk? Or do I have to go get some help? Like, do I have to call someone? It really depends. So once it happens, there's certain times where I'll just sit there and I'll try and focus on my breathing and I'll try and gather myself, but sometimes that doesn't work. So I found things that I can channel that energy into. So all of my anxiousness, sometimes I'll channel it into painting. So I'll sit down, I'll grab a canvas, and I'll just start painting. I don't even know what I'm painting. I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm putting it out on something. It's a healthy way for me to cope with it. Or sometimes I'll go straight to the piano and I'll start playing the same three songs that I know by heart. And I'll just play that until I'm feeling better. Sometimes it's a lot of just sitting down in my bed and just letting it happen. Because it's too hard for you to just try and control it. Sometimes it does take over. So I remember there were many times that the way that I coped with it was letting it happen, letting myself feel what I had to feel and letting it out. But at the end of the day, always, my coping mechanism is always prayer and talking to God. Because no one knows me better than Him. No one knows what I'm going through more than He does. I could explain it to as many people as I want, and they can get what they want from the information I give them. But ultimately, the only people who know what it feels like for me is me and Him. So there are times where I'll sit down in my bed and I'll be like, okay, God, here I am. I'm freaking out right now. I don't know what to do with myself. But help me calm down. because you're the only other person I know who can actually understand what I'm feeling, who could actually take this away and just like make me feel better. Like, it's not, anxiety was never my choice to have. Anxiety was never something that I was like, okay, let me freak out over every little thing that happens. And he knows that. So I feel like when these things happen, I'm like, I don't know why it's happening, but you know how to fix it. So here, just like take it all. Like just make me feel at peace. And I know that he can do it, and he always does. So that's, at the end of the day, always my coping mechanism. It's always just talking to him, whether that's praying, whether that's just little conversations I have with him in my head while I'm like walking through a supermarket, or when I have to face a situation that I know I'm going to feel anxious in. But yeah.
Wow. My next question is, and I we talked a little bit about this earlier, but sometimes the reaction you get when you're actually honest about this is people will say, but you do this and you do that, and you're so, you know, you're so active in everything. It's actually two questions. One is, how do you actually respond to people who do ask that question or respond that way to you? And the second part was basically, like, does that question affect you when people ask that question, saying, I see you do all these things, but yet you're dealing with this. Like, how is that possible?
It doesn't necessarily bother me when people ask me it, but it kind of stirs up like a whole other topic in my head. And it's like, why do people think that just because you can do normal everyday things, that means that you have to be perfectly okay? Because that's not how it works. At the end of the day, so many people go through so many things that you don't know about, but they seem completely normal. I can point out, you can literally walk through a crowd of people and everyone could be smiling, but I promise you that inside someone has something going on. It's not hard nowadays. For lack of a better word, I'm going to say fake, but it's not hard nowadays to fake that you're okay. I could go through an entire school day with having to present, with having to be in big crowds or constructive criticism. That's always something that bothers me so much. I love taking it, but causes so much anxiety. But anyways, I could go through the entire day smiling, being fine. But little do you know, in my mind, there are a billion things going through it. I have pictured every scenario that could go bad in my head. And somehow I've managed to just contain it so that other people can't see it. I'm a very outgoing person. I'm an extrovert to the max. I love talking to people. I love interacting. I love hearing what people have to say. I love sharing what I think. But it doesn't mean I don't get scared too. It doesn't mean that my anxiety isn't always there. It's just, I think, two things. God, and it's been so long that I've learned to deal with it. It's like, once you go through something every day, once you have to deal with something like this every day, it becomes, it's second nature. It's something that I know is going to happen. It's something that I know I have to deal with. So I've gotten used to finding out what my tics are and avoiding those things. Or when I know I have to face it, preparing myself beforehand. And even if I can't prepare myself beforehand, learning to try and control it. And again, little conversations with God, trying to put it in his hands, letting him take care of it. Because I can't do this alone. So when people turn to me and they're like, how are you doing this? Like, if you have anxiety, if you have depression, if you have whatever it is, how can you still go throughout your day? well, I'm not fighting it alone. It's not just me. I have God. I have people who support me. I have my family, my friends who know about it. It's not like I'm going through this blindly or lonely. There's always someone to lean on. And I think that's so important. So when people are like, how do you sing in front of church? How do you lead in TLT for Pathfinders? How do you go to school and present an entire essay without freaking out? It's like, trust me, I was freaking out. I'm shaking. My mind is going a million miles an hour. But again, I have support systems. I have little things that I've created for myself to make myself face my daily challenges, because I'm gonna have to face things and I have to be strong enough to get there and do it. So through experience and through sometimes pushing myself out of my own comfort zone to face a situation I don't want to will make me stronger so that I can deal with what I have to do in my day-to-day life. So it's ultimately, at the end of the day, it doesn't bother me that people ask that or that people think that. It's just I wish people had more of an understanding as to the fact that it's always there, but finding ways to take care of it and finding support systems and all of that is so important, because that's how I get to do the things that I do.
Wow.
We'll get back to the episode with Sister Lais in just a second, but I just want to remind everybody, give me feedback. Let me know what I'm doing right and how I can help you better. Check me out on Instagram at youth_mentor101. That's youth_mentor101. Feel free to subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher or Spotify or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Also, feel free to give me a rating or a review if you have not done so already. And feel free to share this podcast with some other leader or somebody in your community who you feel can benefit from it. Also, I want to remind you all that Courageous, the Lake Union Youth Evangelism Congress, will be happening next month, and the registration is still open. Check it out at lucyouth.org. That's lucyouth.org. Now let's get back to the episode.
So how should us, because I believe this is something that affects a lot of teenagers today. What is your advice to any older leader or any leader? How do you be that support system to somebody who's going through anxiety?
Well, I think this, and this might come off a little strong, but a lot of times, and I'm speaking off of the experience that I've had with the leaders that I've had in my life, are mostly been in church or other than like school, which are like my teachers and all that stuff. It's mostly been in church. And nowadays, when you try and speak to someone about it, when you try and talk to a leader from church about what you're going through, or this is what's happening in my day-to-day life, or I'm surrounded by these influences, or so many things, so many social pressures are on top of me, and I don't know how to handle it, you usually get the same couple answers, which are, okay, well, read the Bible every day and pray and you'll be fine. Ooh. Or, yeah, like, all that stuff is really bad, so just go, like, get away from it. Like, you shouldn't be surrounded by that. You shouldn't even be in the situation in the first place. Like, you put yourself in that situation. So now you've got to get out of it. Just, like, push everything away. Or it seems like nowadays they don't take the time to try and understand what's happening. Don't get me wrong, I've had many good encounters with leadership from church or from other people in my life, and they gave me good advice and they tried to be there for me, but I think the lack of understanding that they have for the topic or how to deal with the situations is what makes it hard for them to approach a young adult, for a young adult to approach them and be like, hey, this is the problem, help me. So I think for leaders, anyone who's going to deal with young adults, adults who have mental illnesses, children, like, it doesn't matter the age, if you're going to deal with someone or try and handle a situation where someone has to go through this every day, learn about it, you know? Take the time to research the situation. Take the time to research what anxiety, what depression, what bipolar is. All these mental illnesses, there's so much that goes into it that if you took the time to, like, examine that, you'd realize that every situation is different, but there's so many ways that you can help. Going up to a young adult and being like, how was your week? What's going on? You know, like, tell me, like, what do you like to do? Or, like, what's been happening? Why are you feeling like this? Let's talk about it. Let's break it down. Let's figure out what the issue is. It's not judgment or no, like, just pray and read the Bible and you'll be fine. Praying and reading the Bible is great. It's going to do a lot for you. Everyone should do that. I think that's amazing. But that's not always the automatic solution for everything. There's so much more that goes into it. So it's like, I feel like if a leader came up to me and was like, hey, what's been going on? Let's break this down. And we broke down the situation. I told them what I was thinking. We exchanged thoughts. We kind of examined everything that was going on together. And they were like, all right, how about we pray? How about we pray a little bit and then we find a solution to this one problem. Let's fix this one problem. Let's take it one step at a time. And I'm going to be there to help you. I'm going to check in on you. We're going to make this work. Having leaders take the first step, I think, is what's important. Because us young adults, I can't speak for all of us, but I think we created this image where, or the situation where leaders in church or leaders at school or in any situation or any part of their lives, we can't talk to them about our feelings because they're going to tell us the same thing always. So we stop. We don't talk to anyone about it because we feel like we're going to get the same answer every time that we do. And it's always either judgment or you need to do this. And if this doesn't work, there's no other solution. So I feel like having a leader take the first step, being the one to reach out, being like, hey, I took the time to think about you and what you're going through. So let's talk about it. Let's figure it out. I think that's super important. I honestly think that that is one of the things that needs to start happening so that we can get through this together.
Awesome. Laís, you said some very powerful things there, especially on how we should, leaders should react, because I feel I completely agree that usually when it comes to mental illness, the reaction is pray and read the Bible and you'll be fine. For my background, which is Haitian, it sometimes can be, you know, pray and read the Bible, or also it's a demon possession kind of thing. So you really feel that guilt of, oh man, it's because of me that this is happening. But when you realize that other people are going through it, you realize that this is just something that happens. And it is to make us stronger, because like you said, you have to still live. You can't just stay home and do nothing. You have to go out and live. So we have to find a way to overcome those fears and come up with coping mechanisms. But let me challenge those leaders that say those things, because let me mention some people in the Bible who went through anxiety. How about Elijah, when he preached to those 3 years, and then finally Jezebel said, I'm going to kill him. He ran away. He panicked, right? And another good example is Jesus, when he was in Gethsemane and he felt the presence of God leave him, he felt completely sorrowful until even death. He was completely worried. It was so bad that God sent an angel to comfort him so he could go through it, because the anxiety was too much. He didn't want to do it anymore. So I think that we need to, like you said, see people who are dealing with it and be like that angel and support and be there for them. Lais, thank you so much for being on the podcast. I have one thing I would like you to do for me. As I do at the end of every podcast episode, I ask the guests to give words of encouragement to those who are listening. Any teenager or young.
Well, you're not alone. There's so many people, more than you would imagine, more than you would think. Someone that you wouldn't even expect to go through what you're going through. You're not alone. There's a lot of us that go through it. And it's hard. No one said that it was easy. It's very hard. And I completely understand that there's a lot of people that do. I think at the end of the day, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And this definitely isn't going to do that. You gotta hold on to that little hope that you can do it, because you can. You know, you find those supports, you use your resources to be able to cope with what you have to, talk to someone, find little interests that distract your mind, that make you feel a lot better, healthy ways to make you feel better, whether that's going to the gym, whether that's painting, playing piano, whatever it is. Channel the energy that you're feeling of anxiousness, of sadness, of despair. Take that energy and channel it into something good. Because at the end of the day, if you do that, the only thing that can come out of it is good. And also remember that you always have God. He's your shoulder to lean on. He's there to listen. So even if you're driving, if you're walking through, if something's happening, just a little conversation in your head. No one needs to know about it. It's just you and him. You always have someone to talk to. So you're going to be okay. You're going to get there. You're stronger than you think you are.